This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3784, for Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Two-Factor Authentication Without a Phone Number. It is part of the series Privacy and Security. It is hosted by Celeste and is about 18 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, diving into privacy-aware and offline methods to generate one-time passwords. Today's show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license.
Hello everyone and welcome to this new Hacker Public Radio episode. Today's topic is OTP or one-time password, algorithm to generate them and how they work. So first of all, remember that Hacker Public Radio is a crowdsourced podcast, so it's made by people like you. And if you have something to share, make sure to record the podcast and upload it. It's really easy. Go to the hackerpublicradio.org/calendar.php and book a slot. So back to the main topic, one-time passwords. They are one of the most common and easy to implement two-factor authentication methods. It asks, when you try to log into a website, you enter your username and password, and then the website asks you some kind of possession factor, something you own and control, to check you are really who you're claiming to be. One of the most basic example is sending you an SMS with a code, and you need to enter that code into the web page to complete the login process. That works, I mean, pretty well, unless you get scammed by someone at the phone pretending to be the company, asking you to tell them the code. But scamming aside, it works pretty decently, and it's really easy to implement. You don't even need a complex algorithm on the server. You just need a random number and send that number via SMS to the user. The problem with that is that the user is forced to give their phone number to the company managing the service. And you might not want to do that also, because we know that phone numbers are working like a global universal identifier of yourself, because you rarely change your phone number. So it's very valuable. And if you have people's phone number and maybe who they contact, you can even reconstruct the social graph of a person. So it's very valuable information. You might not want to give that to external companies, also because there are much cleaner and safer methods to achieve the same level of security of the SMS-based one-time password. Other two alternatives exist. One is was used more or less 10 years ago by banks, and now it got almost replaced with the new one. The old one is named HOTP, which stands for HMAC based one-time password. HMAC is a form of is a computation based on hashing functions that combines a message and a hashing function and a secret to produce a value, and it's needed to ensure that the message was not tampered with. So the code generated sent along with the message, and the receiver redoes the exact computation, and if they get the same result, the message is legitimate. In this context, it's used in order to produce some value and make the user recreate that computation and get the same value. So even without communicating, the client can generate a valid code with which the server will understand and check it's correct. I guess it's confusing for now, but I will try to make some examples. The HTTP works by combining two things: a secret and a counter. A secret is a random number shared by the client and the server. So both of them know and store this secret. And the second thing is the counter. It's a simple counter that is incremented each time a code is generated. Maybe you remember those little tokens with the LCD screen that some banks gave you years ago with a single button. And each time you press the button, a new code is generated. That's a HMAC-based one-time password generator. So the bank produces a secret and stores it both in the server, both in the little token that they give you. And they are both initialized with the counter set at zero. Then you try to log in your banking system. You press the button, and your token combines the counter, which is one, because it has been incremented, with the built-in secret that it's stored also on the bank side, to produce a numeric code. You enter that code along with your credential into the bank, the banking login system, and the bank server redoes that exact computation. It takes the counter, which now it will be one, and the secret, tries to redo the same computation, and if it gets the same code as the one you generated, then that's a valid code, and it goes to the conclusion that you actually own that token, and you can log in. Now, you might say, hey, I can not enter the code fast enough, and maybe I have to press three or four times, or maybe the button on the token is pressed by mistake, and then the counter goes out of sync because the server thinks to be at the counter with value one, while your token is actually has been pressed actually maybe eight times. So they are out of sync. And that's why the server actually doesn't check only the next value in the counter, but it checks the next 80 or something like that values in the pressing the button, to check that even if they are out of sync, you can still log in, even if you make 20 unwanted presses on the token. And then when a new valid code is entered, the counter on the server is reset and kept in sync again with the one on the token you own. There's one attack on this type of token that works exactly exploiting the fact that the server and the client are not in sync, and the server actually has a window of anticipating and reading the next 80 codes, and they are still valid. So if someone takes your credential and then has temporary access to your token, they can press the button even 10 times and write down the code that has been generated. So imagine that your server thinks to be at counter one. Your token is at counter one. An attacker presses the button 10 times and writes down the code generated for the counter value 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 11. Up to 10, sorry. And then the 11, then the counter has the value 11 inside your token, while the server still thinks to be at counter 1. So the attacker goes away and leaves your token where it was. You don't notice anything bad. And then the attacker takes that credential, takes that codes that have been generated, for example, for counter value 2, and that code is valid because the server thinks, hey, I'm at counter number 1 and the code I received is from counter number 2, so it's valid. And then the attacker puts counter number 3, the code generated by the counter number 3, and that's valid too, up to the 11-1. So unless you log in with your token in before the attacker can successfully enter a lot of valid codes by exploiting that out of sync nature of this type of token and generation. So there has been a new way of generating the one-time passwords, which is still offline. It still doesn't need any phone number, and it's a bit more robust about this. And it's called the TOTP. It stands for time-based one-time password. Instead of using a counter to combine it with the secret key to generate a one-time password, they use the milliseconds from epoch, the Unix time, the number of milliseconds or seconds maybe, the number of seconds, I think it's correct to say seconds here. They use the number of seconds from epochs from 1st January 1970, rounded up to steps of 30 seconds each as a value to combine with the secret key that is shared from both from the server and the client to produce the numeric code, the one-time password, the actual one-time password. So we don't have the problem of being out of sync anymore, because as long as the client device has a correct timestamp, a current date and time, it will generate the same one-time password as the server by only knowing the current time and the secret key, which is shared between the two. In this way, you can no longer press a button and create 10 or 20 valid codes to be used later, because the generated code is strictly tied to the current timestamp. So unless you know the secret that is combined with the code, it's combined with the timestamp to generate the code, unless you know that secret, you cannot forge new codes. While before, you could just press the button and write down the valid codes and use them in the correct order, and you can log in the bank account of someone, which is was quite bad. How to use time-based one-time password today? You can use an authenticator app. There are many, Duo Mobile, Google Authenticator, and similar. But I highly suggest you Aegis for Android. It's called Aegis. It's on F-Droid. It's completely free and open source, and it works. As I said, the calculation it does, it's simply straightforward. It just takes the current timestamp, it rounded it, and it combines it with the secret key to produce a hash digest, and that's used to create a numeric, as a short numeric code to enter. Another alternative is to use a password manager like KeePassXC, which is a Qt-based password manager for desktop computer, Windows and Linux alike. It actually is used only to store passwords, static passwords, but if you right-click on an entry, you can access the set TOTP menu, where the KeePassXC can store the secret key and generate the time-based passcode for you. And that's it. You can use that to log in, copy and paste it into the clipboard, and paste it into the login form. Another advantage of this TOTP one-time passwords compared to the HOTP token-based ones that were available in the past is that you can easily replicate. If you have access to the secret key, you can easily make a backup of that and replicate it on many devices. For instance, I have save the secret key to generate the one-time password in KeePassXC, and then I copied that in the Android app, and they both work and give the same result because they are not dependent on a counter that could go out of sync between the devices. They are only dependent on the secret key, which is static and the same, and the current timestamp, which is available for both devices, both the computer, both the Android phone. So it really works to have a backup of the two-factor authentication method, just in case you don't get yourself locked out of important accounts. Another, maybe in the future I could try to talk about WebAuthn and security key-based authentication. But that's it for today, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you learned something. Let me know if you have some new details or if I made some mistake during the podcast. Bye, and see you next time.
Have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.